So as we continue tonight, brethren, thinking about living a selfless life and that the way to pursue that, to forget ourselves, is to be filled with Christ, for Christ to be our life and our all. Tonight I want us to look at, one of the major themes that Philippians brings to us, that a selfless life is a life filled with joy. A life filled with joy. And again, as we look at Paul's example, all through the letter, we hear how joyful he is, how full of joy, despite his circumstances when he's in prison. You don't need to turn there, but for example, in chapter 1 and verse 4, he says that he rejoices, he has great joy in his prayers when he's remembering the church. And then similarly in verse 18 in chapter 1, he's incredibly joyful when he hears about the gospel advancing, even if at times it does it through flawed instruments. And joy's clearly on his mind because his desire in writing is for the church to share his joy, for them to have great joy. If you look at chapter 1 verse 25, for example, that's his desire for them. And throughout the letter, he's always looking forward to the joys of heaven. Must have surely been a great comfort to him in his suffering. For example, at chapter 2, verse 16, he says, so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain. He says, you hold on, brothers and sisters, because I want to be able to rejoice in you on the day of Christ. He's always looking forward to that future joy. And of course, you know, most wonderfully, he says, you know, to depart, to die, is far better to be with Christ. So there is his joy. And I think what is so striking about this is that Paul has a joy that triumphs over his circumstances. It's a joy that doesn't seem affected by his present severe troubles. A picture came to my mind of a bird serenely flying, carried along on the currents, yet underneath there's a huge storm raging out at sea and the waves are bashing up. And Paul almost comes across a bit like that bird in this letter, doesn't he? He's in very difficult circumstances and has real enemies, but he's got this incredible joy that seems to be carrying him on. And I think it's only my opinion, but I think one of our problems as Christians today is a lack of joy. There seems to be a lack of joy amongst us. So often we're defeated and overwhelmed by our circumstances instead of triumphing over them. So what can we learn then from Paul if a selfless life is full of joy? Well, I want to suggest that the key statement is in chapter 4, verse 4, when Paul says, rejoice in the Lord always. And what we must learn to do is rejoice. And learn to rejoice in the Lord always. If we just take those words in turn, think first about to rejoice. Because to rejoice and to have joy are not really actually the same thing, are they? They're actually different. Because to rejoice is something we do. And this is a verb, this is a command that we're being told to do this. And joy, if you like, is the result or the fruit of rejoicing. What learning to rejoice will produce and lead us to. And really, we find joy and we experience joy as we learn to rejoice in the right things. To rejoice is a work, you could say. But sometimes it isn't easy. And it takes faith and effort and discipline. Stirring up yourself to rejoice. To rejoice is not about your feelings. Perhaps we could call joy an emotion, although it seems more than that. But today there seems to be this idea that emotions just are something that happen to us, that they just come out of nowhere. It's a very worldly way of thinking to think that we don't control our feelings. They just happen to us. But I think a biblical way of understanding ourselves is we can control them to a large extent. We can direct them. They're a bit like, it's a bit like building a channel for water to flow down. And our emotions come through our understanding as we reflect on the truth. And as we learn to rejoice, to thank God, to praise God. It's an act of memory. There's been a lot about Paul recalling and remembering, hasn't there, in this letter? And to rejoice is really to remember, to recall to mind what we have, what we have been given in Christ. So there's the act of rejoicing, recalling what we have, out of which joy will result. And if I could put it this way, lack of joy in a Christian is perhaps a failure of understanding and a failure of memory. It's an act of thanksgiving. It's not about what we feel, it's about what is true and what is real. So it's an act of faith. It's acting according to what Scripture says is true, not what we feel. So we learn to rejoice actively to do it, and we rejoice in the Lord. The way to joy is remember who and what you have in the Lord. Remember what you've been given. There has already been, brothers and sisters, the greatest change about you and in you. You are not what you once were. You are a new creation in Christ. You are God's handiwork, God's magnificent artwork. And this is the source of our joy, that we must look at Christ and what's true in him, instead of looking at ourselves. So what does that mean? Well, it means we should remember our union with Christ, that we're in the Lord. We're joined to the Holy One. And so we share in his life and his righteousness and his blessing. And that you are never alone. You are forever part of Christ's body. It means remember that you are forgiven. More than forgiven, you are counted righteous in God's eyes. You are not dead in trespasses and sins. You are not condemned. You are clothed with the righteousness of Christ. It means remember that your life, your whole life, even down to the smallest things, is in his hands. You're in the Father's loving hands, and he is directing all things for your good. And so there's nothing in your circumstances that is truly random or chance or an accident, but it's all under the sovereign power of God and will work for your good, for your sanctification, everything. It means remember the joy of eternal life to come. Remember, we saw that, I think it was in Hebrews a few weeks ago, that our Lord Jesus is the happiest man of all in the glories of heaven. And we will soon be there. This life is short. We will soon be there, hallelujah, to rejoice with him. And then it means remember the joy of belonging to the church. I mean, isn't that really what we're seeing in this letter? What a source of comfort and happiness this was to Paul as he's remembering these Philippians, as he remembers the work of God in them and their affection for him and what God's grace has been doing in them. And he's just filled with joy by the church. He says, "You are my joy and my crown." The world is a pretty dark, ugly place, as we're all seeing. How wonderful that, you know, we're gathered here tonight and we're family and we love each other. What a blessing. And we're one in Christ. And that's only going to get better, isn't it, as we go on into eternity. We're only going to love each other more, know each other more, have greater joy in each other. Hallelujah. If I could put it this way, I hope strikingly, but I hope not inappropriately. We're all aware of the pain and the cruelty of memory loss and Alzheimer's. Could it be said that we suffer from a kind of spiritual memory loss, spiritual Alzheimer's sometimes as Christians? We're just forgetting the truth, who we are. So no wonder we don't have joy. I don't know if you've ever seen it. There's one of those sappy romantic movies called The Notebook. And it's about this old couple in a kind of retirement home. And every day the man comes and reads to this lady a journal that's actually their story from when they were young and met and fell in love. And she has Alzheimer's and memory loss. And at first she doesn't know who he is, a little bit frightened. And then as he reads their great love story, there's always this wonderful moment that she gets her memory back and she remembers him then. And if I could use that as a picture, in our spiritual amnesia, we've got to keep coming back, not to a diary, but to God's word, because it's telling us the truth, who we are and what Christ has done. And we must believe it. And if we do that, we exercise faith and we say, oh, well, thank God that I have these things, that Christ is mine. That's rejoicing. And as we do this, well, that's how joy will come. And we should rejoice always. That means every day without stopping, continually. So we've got to be stirring up our memories all the time, always fighting against that negative downward pull of the world. But the great point that I think we should hold on to that is you can rejoice always, brothers and sisters, because what you have in Christ is always, and it's forever. It's not going to be taken away. Christ will never leave you nor forsake you. It is an unbreakable salvation that he's forged with an unbreakable chain through his death and resurrection. It's always and forever. And you can have that security as a believer. So how we should rejoice. So this is perhaps simple tonight, brethren, but the longer I go on, the more I find I just need to be reminded of the simple things. How we just need to remember we are in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord, all that we have. Just one more thought. I think the Lord will often strip away our earthly comforts and earthly joys so that we will learn to rejoice in what is eternal. And perhaps he has to do that because of our weakness in the flesh, but to be truly joyful in Christ. The Lord may sometimes, it may seem harshly, take the things of this world away from us. Because, you know, our lives, we're so taken up with the here and now and circumstances. And they distract. They distract from the joy in Christ. Now, maybe, just maybe, Paul, in this letter, he beams with so much joy because he's been brought low, because he's humbled, because his body's weak, because he's in chains, because all his plans have been thwarted. Everything that people would say makes life happy and worth living, it's all been taken from him. But then he sees more clearly what he has in Christ. And he sees the great joy of it. It's been interesting to me that during the lockdowns, when people couldn't go out to, I don't know, go drinking or go to entertainments and so on, that some people found that so hard. But I'm reflecting on that. I'm thinking, is one of the things the Lord's been trying to say to the world is, that's not where real happiness is found. Let me just turn all of those off. What you really need is come to Christ for real joy. And again, if you remember when we first moved into our house about 5 years ago, if you looked out those glass windows at the back, there were those hideous Victorian school toilets, run down, collapsing, awful to look at, and a broken deck. But we got them torn down. And now almost every night we look out that same window, the same angle, and we get to see a beautiful sunset. And the red and the orange just lighten up the sky. Maybe you've seen it one evening. And I just think maybe that's sometimes, If the Lord's stripping things away from you, making life more restricted, maybe that's not to take your joy, maybe that's to give you joy. He's tearing down the ugly stuff so that you'll see the real view and you'll see Christ more clearly and the great joy of all that we've got in him. May it be so. May we learn to rejoice and be full of joy. Let me pray for us. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that one of the gifts of your Spirit is joy. That you have sent, Lord, your Spirit to us, so the fruit of joy will grow in our lives. So that in this, O Lord, we may grow to be like our Saviour, who we know, Lord, rejoices forevermore in the glory of heaven. We ask for forgiveness, Father, if we have been lacking in joy, if we've been so taken up or distracted with things that do not last, with worldly things that ultimately will not endure. Lord, we pray that you would reorientate our thinking. Help us, Lord, to constantly remember your goodness and grace to us in Christ. The riches, O Lord, that you have bestowed upon us. And we pray, Lord, that you would please teach us as a people, as a church, how to truly rejoice. And then we do pray, Lord, that we might be full of joy. That this would bring glory to you. And indeed, Lord, would be a good witness. We ask for Christ's sake. Amen.